Welcome, everybody. This is Sources from the Sofa podcast. This is Rome. Quick little intro. It's New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's Eve. We recorded the podcast last night after a really fun Monday night football game. The weather's beautiful in San Francisco right now. I'm pretty sure it is nice on the West Coast, at least. Can't say anything about the East Coast. Got my daughter watching lots of games, lots of Christmas movies, all that good stuff. On the pod, we do a quick Monday night football recap. Vikings, are they Super Bowl contenders? They look legit, man. And that team loves Darnold. A lot of good problems if you're a Vikings fan, especially with the hell of a quarterback out of Michigan and McCarthy in the waiting. What they do, we're going to find out, but it's going to be fun. Unfortunately, there's going to be a 14-win team that's going to be the fifth seed in the playoffs. That's ugly, man. We got to change that, in my opinion. But it is what it is. All out. Lions, Vikings, week 18 for it all. Number one seed, as well as Kings of the North, the NFC North. We talk all the other games. You know, Commanders looking really good. They're a dangerous team with 11 wins. Can Jaden Daniels carry that team for an upset or two in the playoffs with his legs and through the air? He just has the mojo, man. He just got it. Aaron's up on his Packers, really up on his Packers. We talk a little bit more about that. Can't go a session without some Chicago Bear talk with Jason, of course. And then it's a long segment. It's about an hour long NFL talk. So you're going to love it. And then we have college football. We do a recap, checking in with Jason at his time at the Holiday Bowl. We recap a few of the other bowls on the weekend, including the Pop-Tarts. They're doing it right, baby. It's fun. It's a fun bowl game to watch. It's all the theatrics around it. They're kind of reinventing what it means to be a bowl game. I think it used to be like that. We kind of gone away with that with, like, you know, BCS and playoffs and everything getting screwed up, you know, mega TV contracts. But we also don't go without talking a little smack on the SEC. That's a segment dedicated from Jason. And valid points, by the way. And then a full in-depth preview of the quarterfinals with the college football playoffs, starting off with New Year's Eve, and then the three games New Year's Day. You don't want to miss some great bets, some sides to take. This is Sources from the Sofa. Before we go, quick word from my daughter.
Go Dodgers!
Go Dodgers! I love it. We'll be back. All right, Monday night, December 30th, the eve before the eve of New Year's Eve, or something like that. Maybe it was too many eves. The eve before the New Year's Eve. Is that it?
New Year's Eve, Eve.
Eve squared. Or, no, that'd be four, right? Whatever.
Yeah, that'd be four eves prior. It's New Year's Eve, Eve.
New Year's Eve, Eve. Hell of a Monday night game. Detroit Lions at the San Francisco 49ers at Levi's Stadium. I thought this game would be really dope in the beginning of the year. And then coming into this week, we thought, this is not going to happen, right? It's not going to be any good. Niners had basically mailed in the season. But this was a good game until, what, like the second half of the third quarter? Like, that's when Detroit really took off with it. But it was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was like a throwback 49er game. You know, they're trying to, like, I don't know, end the season with some self-respect, with some self-dignity, to go into next season before Brock Purdy gets paid, before other people get paid, maybe before half the team gets traded, all that good stuff. So Detroit, dangerous. I wasn't a big fan of the initial go on fourth down. Was it the second quarter? Or was it the first quarter? They were there like the 10, 15 yard line, didn't get it. And then San Francisco drove it like the final minute and a half for a field goal. Much to my surprise, Detroit kicked the other field goals throughout the game. 40-34, wasn't that close in the final frame, but I loved it.
Yeah, it was a good performance for the Lions, even though it was an injury-riddled Niners team. Did Purdy get hurt at the end of that game, Aaron? I was getting some stuff.
I'm not sure if I missed that either.
Yeah, he got sacked.
For the concussion?
No, went off to the sidelines and something with his wrist or hand.
Hmm.
He, like, tried to throw the ball twice and then shook his head and just said, I can't go. And yeah.
I'll tell you, I knew this game was over. I mean, we all picked the Lions, right? I'm trying to remember where we were at.
Yeah.
Pretty sure we all picked the Lions. But this game was over this morning. Saw trending on X that Dan Campbell's wife, Holly Campbell, posted on her Instagram stories a picture of Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones with the quote, "If we don't take back the North, we'll never be safe. I want you to help me, but I'll do it myself if I have to."
God, so I love it.
You're going to be quoting Game of Thrones by Dan Campbell's wife. It was over this morning.
Oh, man, I love it. So our picks, Aaron had it at a lock for a pounding. That was his exact words, lock for a pounding. End of the year, lock of the year, man. Cash it, dude. Lions. And it wasn't a pounding effort. It was pretty competitive. Niners were up. Lions roared back, man. They look still good, even with like the abysmal defense. I wasn't sure if the Niners looked good or if the defense is that bad on the Lions, because they were completing a lot of passes. Kittle was just trucking over guys.
A little bit of both, man. A little bit of both.
Purdy has some nice throws. Like, I'm not going to question Purdy at all. I like him as a quarterback overall. That gives Williams out. They had great games, man. They're like solid on offense. As long as they can continue doing that, they're a tough out. But that defense, though, I'm really curious how that's going to look in the postseason.
I think continually just a lot of questions in the defense. I don't know if they've really talked about Aaron. How many of the team guys on defense for the Lions are they going to get for the postseason right now? Right, because Hutchinson, did they
maybe
rule
if
him
they go
out?
To the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl only.
They get two guys, I think, back from.
They get the linebacker.
IR. Some really good cornerback that was drafted this year. I think he just came back, or he might be coming back for the last week of the season. He's supposed to be pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, they
it's
get
still a lot of injuries.
They get one of their linebackers back, I believe. I have to look up the name. Their middle linebacker.
The guys
but...
coming back have not played that much this year because they've been injured all year long. It's going to be pretty green.
Yeah, it'll just be more importantly looking at, if talking about the injuries, but as you look into where the Lions have to play, it's probably even more important that they secure this one seed so they don't go to Philadelphia, because they want the track meet right now offensively.
They
so
got
you
it.
Want the you want the fastest surface possible. So I don't think you want to leave. I mean, if Minnesota were to take the one seed from them at some point or whatever, I don't even know if that's possible at this point. I forgot to check out what the possibilities are for the last week of the season. But if Minnesota can steal that from them and then they got to go through, you know, Philadelphia or something like that, or even if Philly had the one seed and you got to go through Philadelphia or some of these outdoor places, like, that's probably not what you want when you know, hey, the key to the Lions getting to the Super Bowl right now is it's going to be a 40-point scoring game, and they want the fastest track possible, especially whether they're going to be relying on Gibbs. I don't Montgomery, have they talked about him coming back at all yet, or is he done?
Yeah, so, Montgomery's a possibility, they said, next week, or he says he'll be good to go. They're still waiting for their testing. My guess is you won't see him back next week, but it's a possibility he's back.
Yeah, so my understanding is next week's 18th, week 18 game now means a lot. It is, love the dogs barking in the background. All good.
I'm not sure if, yeah, I don't know if you like my take or not, or apparently he's just, you know, not unhappy with it.
Yeah, so it's winner take
Bears
all,
fan.
I think.
He's a Bears fan, so Bears anything fan. Positive about Lions or the North that's not Bears related, he's barking.
He's not taking it.
He's named after former Minnesota Viking defensive lineman Brock Lesnar, though, so I, you know, he might be a Vikings fan for all.
Oh, man,
I know,
you're so confused.
Since I named him Brock, so.
I love
that.
Really
Brock
cool.
Bauer too. You never know. He might be a Raider fan too now. Best tight end rookie number ever.
Yeah, so winner takes all, man, next week. Lions, Vikings, the North, and the number one seed. Is that right?
Yes. Well, yeah, if they tie, Lions win the division because they already beat Minnesota once. So that's the importance of this victory for the Lions. I know people were saying they weren't playing anything for anything, but a tie next week assures the Lions the number one seed, and a win assures them the number one seed.
To put like the Lions' offensive perspective, man, they have scored 533 points this year. That's 110 more than the Vikings. That is crazy. And it's still like 50 more than everywhere else. A little more than 100 than the Eagles, Commanders,
Bucks have been pretty prolific on offense as well. They're up there. I think the only other team above 500 points is the Bills at 509. He's been destroying teams. So yeah, you're right, Jason. They definitely need the number one seed to keep the field nice and warm for the track meet.
Yeah, Philadelphia probably the only place that's really going to be bad when you look at the NFC playoff picture, because if you know, you're going to have Minnesota's indoor, you'll have the Rams indoor at SoFi. Tampa could be warm. I guess it could be wet, you know, or I'd say warm. It's Florida, so it could just be wet down there. But Philadelphia is probably the only one. So Detroit, I think you want the one seed. I think Minnesota's probably playing for the same thing too. But it's weird in the NFC right now, man, because you got three teams with three losses or less at the top of the NFC. So you're going to have a discrepancy of the team that has to sit at the five seed out of this loser of the Vikings Lions matchup, because now your road becomes so much harder. And hey, you had a 14-3 season. Okay, now you got to go on the road for a bunch of games.
Eagles end the season this Sunday with the Giants. So that's a nice little gift to end the year. Do you think they're going to play everybody?
The Eagles?
Yeah.
No.
No.
To me, no. I mean,
or maybe Jaylen, half.
Well, Jalen's not going to play. I don't think Hurts. Pickett's not going to play. He's got, what, broken ribs?
Already?
And Saquon, why throw records him out there?
Right there?
I mean, we talked about this. I mean, Philly's got Green Bay as of right now coming into town. That's the wild card matchup.
Yeah.
So you want Saquon being healthy, because if the Eagles aren't on their game, the Packers are going to eliminate them round one.
Does Saquon want the rushing record and do it against the Giants, though?
That'd be kind of sweet. Oh, no.
I mean,
At the same time, I saw a thing on X about he could do the most diabolical thing either way, because if he plays, he gets the rushing record on them. He does that. But if he doesn't play and he allows the Giants to win, the Giants, I don't know, what if they get the ninth pick overall or something right now after having the first overall pick pretty much in the bag?
Yeah, they jumped up to, I think, fourth or fifth.
Who had that take? Someone said that on TV. They had like this. Like, if I was the Eagles, I would just, like, not play anybody. Like, yeah, they win the game, but it just screws them over for another year in the draft. It was so crazy. Any other takes on this game? Detroit at San Francisco?
No. I think the Lions did what they had to do, and 49ers are obviously looking forward to next season. And I don't know, a lot of talk about Moody from the kicking game for the Niners. So I think the Niners got a lot of changes, obviously, with some of the aging players, but they're probably going to be out in the market for a new kicker potentially too.
Yeah, I mean, well, Moody's second year guy, he just hasn't been the same since he hurt his ankle back in, what, week five. He was shot. His confidence was done, that's for sure. Missed a couple kicks. I'm surprised Kyle Shanahan threw him out there to kick a 58-yarder. I just sort of went for it on 4th and 10.
It was close, too. Just pushed a little.
Yeah. I mean, that extra point, though, wasn't close, though, that he missed from 35.
I missed
33,
that.
Whatever that was. Yeah, I mean, Niners and Lions both came in this game, 18 players each on each team on the IR, a record.
That's a lot.
Really, the difference for the 49ers is they have a combo of both on offense and defense. The Lions is just so defense, and they've got their full offense intact, and that's how they're winning games.
Majority,
but
yeah.
Ironically, depending on if the Lions win, they could go to SoFi. Matt Stafford, Lions again in a wild card, this time at Stafford's house at SoFi.
If the Lions lose,
yeah. Or they go to Tampa and play Baker and those guys. So I think either team that loses between the Lions and Vikings is in trouble in that wild card on the road, whether it's at LA or Tampa. But we'll see, man. This is going to be a big game to end the season.
I like the way the O-line was playing today, or like Jahmyr Gibbs. He looked really fast, had some nice runs. You know, usually he's taking like half the load, but he had the whole thing today. Really phenomenal. Williams showed up again. Amon St. Brown had like a nice catch, had a couple nice catches today. Had a nice little touchdown dance, and they looked really sharp, man. Dude, 40 points. It's like this is like the Lions and like the Bengals. As long as they can keep guys on the offensive side on the field, then they're good to go. But
they're really very similar teams.
They are.
No defense and offense.
Very
and weapons.
Similar, yeah.
Detroit, that was their fifth time this year scoring 40 or more points. So
That's wild. All right. Last quick. Let's review the rest of the weekend then. Pretty fun overall. There was a few games that really stuck out in my mind. The thriller with the Bengals, that was really great. They needed that big time. If they would have lost that, man, that would have been wild. Daniels securing that Rookie of the Year award. And I'm kind of prepared maybe to go down the line of like, let's rank the rookie quarterbacks for this epic class. It's a great class, but I like to rank all the rookie quarterbacks because Penix, wow, solid, man. If he would have played like a few weeks earlier, they'd be locking the playoffs. We wouldn't even be talking about the Bucks. I'm pretty confident in that. Like, he looked really nice. He has looked really nice. So, what other games kind of stick out? Let's just start with those two. Take your pick.
You got to start on Saturday, Bengals, Broncos. You know, that was real highlight on Saturday. So I think you start with that one.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, man. I mean, when you look at this entire year, we talked about it a ton early in the season. A lot of those games that the Bengals lost, especially those home games early on that seemed winnable games. Now you're down to the final week of weeks, or they should already be in the playoffs. You know, this shouldn't even be a conversation. Them sitting at 8-8 right now and, you know, need some things to go their way to get into the playoffs. But, you know, Burrow, 4,600 yards so far this season, 42 touchdown passes. We kind of crowned Josh Allen, I think, from an MVP perspective early on. Lamar's obviously had, you know, 39-4 on the TD interception ratio has been like
great.
You know, great. He's going to probably throw for 4,000. He's right on the cusp if he just, you know, completes a couple passes here this weekend. But Burrow, you know, 42-8 overall from the touchdown interception ratio, the 4,600 yards. Just, I mean, if they make the playoffs at this point, it's basically I did it myself type thing. I mean, obviously Jamar Chase played a huge role in that, but man, it's been just game after game with him. And I know Rome, you're I don't know if you're his biggest fan, but you're definitely, you know, in the fan club and been driving the bus for a long time. But as all the question marks the Bengals have had all season, I'm pretty sure you put Zach Taylor on the hot seat at some point in the middle of the season. He was the coach to go. But Burrow's not going to let this team fail. And that was the performance there this Saturday, again, making sure, fine, I'm going to do it myself in overtime too.
Yeah, T. Higgins really came through too. I think he had 3 touchdowns. It felt like the Bengals were going to take over, or like they were up. And then I'm not sure what happened. I was switching in between games. Or I don't know what the hell was happening on Saturday because it was just those two games. But the fourth quarter was wild, and then the fact that the Broncos even brought it back to go to OT, that was really exciting. Something interesting happened in OT, though. I can't really recall the play-by-play.
A lot Broncos happened in OT, man.
Right?
I mean, you had a missed field goal, an easy kick by Cade York. And then they got the 3 and out, got the ball back, and literally at the 3-yard line, they didn't even line up to kick a field goal. They just threw it to T. Higgins to get his 3rd touchdown.
Yeah.
To get him the hat trick. But, yeah, I mean, Jason said it best. I mean, the Bengals look like a playoff team. They're playing like a playoff team, and yet they have to have the Broncos and Dolphins lose and then beat your Steelers, Rome, to even get into the playoffs.
I know.
Given the fact that they were at 4-8 one time, they've let so many games slip away. That season-opening loss to the Patriots looks really, really bad right now, considering what they are with Jacoby Brissett in that game at that time. Dallas gave him a gift on a Monday night like 3 weeks ago with that, you know, blocked punt, then muffing it on the return. Cincinnati's, you don't want to see them when they get in the playoffs. I mean, if you're the Chiefs and Andy Reid, you want the Broncos to win at all costs. I would rather see Bo Nix and Sean Payton than I would rather see Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and all those guys any day of the week. I'm not playing any of my guys, or at least hard of Andy Reid. Say what you want. You want the Broncos or Dolphins in. You know you can handle them if you're the Chiefs. You don't want anything to do with the Bengals. That's for sure.
100%. What was your takeaway? Bo Nix has some pretty clutch throws down the stretch. He's really good. He's really, Aaron, you called it. He was going to be a great fit with Sean Payton. And got to give it up to you on that call. can't really hate on it right now.
No, I mean, he made a couple great throws there. I think he hit like a 50, 60-yard pass there in the fourth quarter to tie that game up. Then he hit another pass to Mims there in the corner to get him within one and then kick the extra point. Ironically, they were going to go for two, and then the replay kind of called down, and they took a two-minute delay to review that to make sure to confirm it was a touchdown. Kind of took the momentum, and the defense of the Bengals got a chance to regroup, so they ended up kicking an extra point. I know we've touched on this subject a lot, probably midway through the year. If you're on the road, a chance to win, do you go for two? Because if it goes to overtime, you may not get the ball back. We saw that with Atlanta.
Yeah.
Not go for two. When your season's on the line, you don't have much to lose. Denver has a little more, you know,
a little more
leeway because they can win one more game.
Yeah.
Atlanta had to win out. But, yeah, I mean, Bo Nix has looked good. Outside of Jaden Daniels ranking the quarterbacks, he's been the number two rookie quarterback this year for sure.
Should we just go ahead and rank rookie quarterbacks, or should we just kind of go through the games like in order?
You want to rank the rookie quarterbacks. You keep talking about it, Rome. So just
it's
do
the end
it.
Of the season.
I know what you're doing, so go ahead. I know what you're doing.
You know, I feel a little insecurity coming through, you know?
There's no insecurity. I know what you're doing.
We all like your quarterback, all right?
It's all right. I'm good. It's a great class. It's a great class.
It's a dope class.
Dope class.
I'm not really too confident about the next year.
A lot of question marks in the next year. I think this is where you want, like, why these teams got this. But go ahead, Rome. Like, you're bringing it up. You brought it up two or three times at this point. Let's hear the rankings.
I mentioned I was going to talk about it. First, I want to talk about, like, the previous Saturday game, because that Chargers-Pats game with, like, the Christmas Day games and that game, I was thinking, like, dude, like, why are we even having holiday games at all? Let's just take a week off.
I wanted to say when Rome was talking about the Broncos-Bengals game, he's like, yeah, there's a lot of things that happened in overtime, and I don't know what happened. And I was going to say, Rome, that's furthermore of how you did not want these Christmas Day games, because I feel like we played half of this week like 10 days ago.
It was, yeah. It was two games on Wednesday. You had a game on Thursday night. I was not a big fan of that, so that's three. Two more on Saturday, like after that Chargers-Pats game.
We had three games Saturday.
Three games Saturday. You're right. Cardinals-Rams. Yeah, it was just too much. It was just too much. Half of them were bad.
Yeah. I mean, you get this time of year, though. I mean, just we're going off from the ranking the quarterbacks right now. But when you look at the standings, there's just a lot of bad teams right now. I mean, just overall, as good as the top is when you got these 14-2 teams and everything like that, you got the bottom of the league where, I mean, as bad as my Bears are, man, they can't even be bad enough. They're still picking ninth in the draft, and they haven't won a game since baseball season.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
They haven't won a game since they left, was it London, right?
Yep. You're right.
Yeah.
Haven't lost a game since I stopped going to Georgia.
Nah, that's true.
or haven't won a game, I should say. Yeah.
Is it the Zinke curse, or is it the Jaden Daniels curse, that Hail Mary that... I don't know. I'm trying to think of something clever there.
I don't think it's either of us. I think it's just the McCaskey family and the overall way they run the organization. But that's just
me. What? I should have did it over under with you, Aaron, when he was going to mention McCaskey family. Ah,
yeah, you won though.
I would have guessed under 20 minutes.
Yeah, you brought up the Bears.
No, I know. Yeah.
Well, he brought up that and ranking the quarterback, so he's just kind of light
dude,
and fire to the field.
Dude, you guys are spicy today. You guys are ready to go. You guys all right?
I'm great. Well, Aaron had tons of energy. You know, he was, what, 10-3 this weekend picking games, 4-0 on X. So Aaron was coming with some fire into the pod today. I wasn't as good on the gambling side. I don't think we tallied my total rooms, but, you know, it's a good week. You know, we had some energy going.
This is a really good week, yeah. I'm trying to look at the bottom of the league. Giants were terrible. 3-13.
But they won. They beat the Colts, eliminating them from the playoffs.
Dude, that was a weird game. That shook me. I did not see that one coming.
Well, they scored 45 points.
45 points.
45 points.
Let's see. 45-33. I had to do a double take. I couldn't believe it. I think it was like halftime. Like, wait a minute. They already scored this many points? No way. Flacco,
I mean, Drew
up and down game. Two touchdowns, two interceptions.
I mean, I'm not pinning that game on Joe. I mean, the defense gave up 45 points to the Giants.
Taylor killed it.
How many points do the Giants have this whole year since you've been throwing out numbers of Lions scoring over 500 points? Have the Giants even scored over 250?
They're at 260. Barely. 260.
And that's after scoring 45.
45, yeah. They've been averaging around 18, so that's, I guess you can say 20.
They aren't the worst point differential in the league, though.
Hold on, let's
They're not.
They're not.
260 to 395, that's their point differential.
Yeah, 135. Them and the Patriots are minus 135. Care to guess the worst point differential in the league?
It's got to be either the Jags or the Titans.
Negative.
Is it the Browns?
Nope.
Man.
Raiders?
Nope.
Panthers?
It's the Panthers.
What?
Minus 199.
Wow. Wouldn't think that over the last 2 months how well the Panthers have actually played.
That's how bad they are.
We were praising them, but they've been really bad still.
Actually, if you go back, they did lose like week one, like 48-14, and they lost again 48-14. So,
at their records, and me and Aaron, man, we've been talking a lot about the Panthers, how good they look, and they're still just 4-12. Like, three of those wins have been in the last month. Dude, that's bad.
Well, isn't there like 10? Is there 10 teams at least in the league with 4 wins or less? Right up there, right?
We got Panthers. We got the Bears. We got the Giants. That's in the National League, so that's 3. We have the Jets and the Patriots in the AFC East. Raiders, Browns, Jaguars, Titans.
So 9.
It's 9.
That's okay. A lot. That's a third of the league that just like stinks.
Yeah,
and apparently. And apparently some of the teams moved to the National League. I didn't know that. This was an NL only.
Oh, yeah. You guys are going to bust my balls for that.
I'm not going to. I'm not. It's the eve of the eve of the eve, so I'm going to let it slide.
Yeah, dude, I'm exhausted. I'm drinking some Mexican squirt. Soda.
I don't even soda. Know what that is.
That sounds like when you drink the water in Mexico, what happens.
Sounds they don't like even drink their own else. Water. Back to the games. Yeah, so like that Colts game was ugly.
Are you going to rank quarterbacks or what?
No, I wasn't ready.
Said you were ready, and now you're not.
I was going to
do it later on. Like, Rome, I haven't heard of like Rome's top 5, top 8 in like 2 months. And now all of a sudden he's got a quarterback list. Rookie quarterback list.
No, it's a great year. I actually don't know how to rank it because...
I think it's...
Oh no, Jaden's number 1.
It's pretty easy to rank.
All right, let's hear your ranking, Aaron.
You got to go 1, Jaden, 2, okay. Bo, 3, Caleb, 4, Drake, 5, Penix, and 6, your boy McCarthy. He hasn't played all year.
I don't know.
Well, what's yours, man? I just gave you mine in like 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to put Drake May at 3rd, and then Caleb, and then Penix because he hasn't really played, but he looks really good. If he played a whole year, he might be moving up a couple spots, and then, yeah, McCarthy's last. It's a good draft class, though. Minnesota has a lot of good problems to have.
They do. I'm going to go, you got to give Jaden first, but Caleb second, and then Bo. Drake, Penix, JJ. So look at the stats for Bo versus Caleb. They're pretty much the same. So Bo's got 34-54 passing. Caleb's right under him in the league, 33-93. Bo's got 25-10 touchdown interception ratio. Caleb's only 19-6. So they're basically identical statistically. And I'll give Caleb the edge because he's played with an inferior coach, inferior offense, inferior team the entire year, and has done just as much as Bo has.
I would say Drake May has done more than both those guys with even worse of a coaching situation and a team surrounding him. And he's looked phenomenal.
Well, he's threw for 1,000 less yards than both of them.
Well, he didn't come into like week 7, right? Week 6.
This was his temp start, 11.
He's got 12 games played.
Yeah, well, I think he got knocked out of one early of a concussion against the Jets. What, on the second series? Yeah. I mean, look, I think Drake May. It's hard to say where these guys are going to be because if you said long term, who would I want, Nix or Caleb?
it's hard to say because I don't know who the coach for the Bears is going forward. I mean, having if you were to reverse situations and pit Caleb with the Broncos, I think Caleb's numbers would be significantly better than they are now, and Nick's numbers would be significantly worse. But at the same time, I do think the Bears' weapons are better than the weapons the Broncos have on the outside. Broncos got a better offensive line. You just, as Jason mentioned, coaching scheme-wise, heads and shoulders above what the Bears got. And that's really the difference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going forward, it's, you know, who the coaches are, what that becomes, we'll see. But based off the numbers and what I've seen this year, Nick's has been the second best rookie quarterback.
We're splitting hairs, I think, probably between the three for second, third, and fourth. If you just, you know, as you go through the stats, because quarterback rating, they're basically all 88 and 89 all together. So
that's pretty good.
So when you just average it out, like right now, Drake May's an 88.3, Caleb's an 87.4, Bo Nix is 89.2. So they've all been good.
If Penix Jaden played Thomas, a whole year, where do you think Penix would be?
He'd probably be right there with them. I think it'd be probably really tight. Maybe it would have gotten the edge. You could have looked at Penix a little bit like Bo for how much he played in college. I mean, no one played as much in college as Bo did, but you know, Penix, you know, played at two different schools, had a lot of starts under his belt, maybe a little more pro ready versus what Jaden and Caleb probably would have said because they were coming out with maybe more raw talent versus Aaron said it, I'm pretty sure, at the beginning of the year. Just if you looked at pro ready out of this quarterback class, Bo Nix was probably seen as like, hey, he's the one that can start for you on day one, but maybe won't have the biggest upside, but still be a really good pro.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
I'll take that.
Sean Payton, I think, said it best. He went to Nix's pro day. These guys usually throw, I think, 50 to 60 passes. He saw a dozen and said, that's my guy. So, Penix has all the arm talent. You saw why the Falcons drafted him at number 8 and didn't let him slip to the Raiders or someone like that that was really thinking they were going to get him. I mean, give kudos to the Falcons for keeping that under wraps and not having any leaks. I mean, you signed Cousins. Cousins' team had no clue that was coming. Nobody had any clue that was coming. And now, given how bad Cousins has looked, that pick may come back to be a savior for that organization. Who knows?
I think what happens, they jumped the ball on Cousins. They finally got the medical report. Someone said, we might be in deep shit. Let's edge our bet. Let's cover our ass. They got Penix. They got ridiculed for it. But they're going to come out on top on it.
The biggest thing about that pick, and if you're going hindsight, and we're kind of all over the place in this episode.
We are.
It was probably just where the value was in Penix when you're judging in the draft. Less about the pick because – okay, Cousins wasn't going to be the quarterback beyond a couple years to begin with. You knew it was a short term. You gave him a lot of money, but it more probably was on draft day when you're analyzing the NFL draft. It's like, oh, you could have waited maybe a little bit longer to get him. But I don't know how much they would have gotten waited him because Bo Nix was, what, 12 in that draft? Because the Broncos went up, you know,
yeah,
were there.
Yeah, the Broncos got him, and I think the Raiders were the 13th pick or 14th, and they got Bauer. But the Raiders wanted a quarterback. That was known widely around the league.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, the Falcons, I mean, the most the Falcons could have done was like, hey, I would trade back a pick or two to maybe get some draft equity or something out of it. But, you know, you can say what you want a lot of these draft picks, and we'll probably do our own NFL draft and see where teams reach and stuff and we kind of got value. But in the day, you just don't know what the team in front of you is going to do. And if you wait or trade back and lose out on something, now you're doing this whole season and Cousins is terrible. Now you're going into the quarterback class that you just talked about where, hey, there isn't really a sure thing coming out of this draft right now. Like a lot of question marks for all these guys. I don't know if there's a consensus number one, or even if a group of quarterbacks is going to be good up for the taking. Now in this draft, you may have to overpay to get a guy that may not be as good as any of the 4 or 5 guys we're talking about right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get rookie quarterback contracts. And now you're going to have to pay, if the Vikings decide to keep Sam Darnold, that's going to cost you minimum probably $35, $40 million, what Cousins got.
He's definitely getting at least $40 million.
So, I mean, if we look at the Falcons, They already have weapons on the outside. They already have running backs. Their O-line is good.
They got good players.
Their defense got solid players. They made some trades. They got, Judon from the Patriots and some other moves during the offseason. So they shored that up. You know, maybe they could have went out and got, like, a pass rusher or something in the draft. But, I mean, we said it best. Cousins was a two-year rental, and they're going to get rid of him after one. And
yeah.
Where are you going to be? I mean, 7-10, 8-9, 9-8, and then you're picking in the draft every year at 16-18. You're not going to have a chance at a franchise quarterback unless you're like giving away two or three first round picks in future drafts. Just makes no sense. Penix was there. They saw the value in it. We'll see how it goes forward, but obviously we know Cousins is done. He's going to be a free agent. They're going to cut him before March, where they have to give him a signing bonus for being on the roster.
Yeah, we could talk more about that in the offseason. Let's circle back on the games. Cardinals-Rams, that was a weird game. Cardinals dominated. All the stats show that they should have came out with a win. Murray, another up-and-down anemic game. Lots of yards, few interceptions. He's always good for like one or two of those what-the-F throws. I think that's the first time I didn't cuss on this pod. So
maybe your daughter should be around a little more when we're recording.
I think she's got her headphones off. You got a little scared there.
I know.
It also didn't bode well that he got Kyler Murray's name right.
It did not bode well. No. So what do you guys think about that game? And then I want to like kind of skip through the rest of the weekend really quick.
It was a huge win for the Rams, and like you said, it was just so. The Cardinals kind of had a lot of opportunities. The Rams have been kind of this team all year that have been
like, are they good or are they not good? Like, are they bad good team? Is that a thing? A bad good team?
I don't know if they're bad good. I mean, they've had, you know, you had the injuries to Kupp early. Puka Nacua has been in or out. Questions on the defense with, you know, kind of almost a rebuild mode on their defense. So they've been kind of patchworking some of that stuff together. And you look at a point differential. They have a negative point differential on the season right now. And they're a division leader at 10-6. So, okay, cool. Is that we're good in good games? Or, you know, these are those things in the next season where like, oh, a team regresses and you're like, hey, we saw it in the numbers the last season. They won a couple of close one score games one way or the other, and it puts them in the lead. But for the Rams, I give them the benefit of the doubt because of their coaching. Sean McVay has proven like he gets more out of a lot of players. So it could be a starting point where this roster's been beginning to rebuild a little bit. But, you know, this is a team that was losing early in the season, had a lot of injuries, and there was trade talks of trading Cooper Kupp and, you know, and different stuff at the middle of the season, and now they're in a prime spot. This isn't a team that I think is going to make a long run in the playoffs. I think there's a clear cream of the crop in the NFC, and teams like the Rams and the Buccaneers and, you know, maybe even like the Packers and stuff like that. It's pretty much probably a three-team race in the NFC personally, and the rest of these teams are kind of just going to be there. It'll be some good first-round playoffs, and it's going to be over quickly for them.
I think it's matchups for the Rams. If they get Detroit, watch out, because we know Detroit gives up a lot of points. And the Rams, if you got a shaky defense, they did drop.
They still got Stafford.
They dropped 45 on Buffalo just here 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Ironically, since that game.
And they blew up the Niners.
Since that game, their offense has only scored 2 offensive touchdowns the last 3 games. yet they're 3-0. Victories over the Jets, the Cardinals here. And the Niners, that 9-6 game, that ugly Thursday night game here, like about 3 weeks back.
Yeah, I was looking back, like, because, man, now they're 10-6. I'm like, how do we get here? Like, they were 5-6 a while ago, and they've really pulled out on top.
They got that
Seahawks
bye
and Cardinals
week.
Had it for them, and they just really stumbled. They really fumbled the bag here.
Yeah, after that bye week, the Rams have just been rolling, and, you know, Sean McVay, you got to believe in him. He got that team going. I think the key for the Rams is that young defense is playing really well. They got, you know, first year Shula as their defensive coordinator. They got all those young D linemen, first and second year guys. Their linebackers are explosive. Their corners are playing really good defense. The Rams defense has been the key to this turnaround. And then Stafford, he's been clutch there in the late games. And then, Kyler Murray, man. I mean, that pick in the end zone, that play, I don't know. I mean, throwing a bullet to McBride like 4 yards away. Bonehead plays, man.
It's a Murray throw.
Yeah, just stuff he does sometimes. Like, you're just shaking your head, and he just kind of has that. He has that dumb look on his face, like you're talking about, Rome, where he's like, did that just happen? It's like, dude, like, yeah, you, dummy, you just did that.
He reminds me of a, if there was a poor man's Jameis Winston. Right? Similar throw, similar talent.
I don't know. I think Jameis gets up and down the field better and at least scores some touchdowns. Throws the bad interception, but I think there's a lot more upside with Jameis there. Kyler, I don't know. I mean, the other thing with Kyler, a lot of it was going on the on X about him. He falls off when Call of Duty comes out in early November. So
dude, the record has not been good since that happened.
So he's like, is he 1-5 since Call of Duty came out in early November? So it's a funny narrative, but it's kind of true this year.
It's been accurate, though. Like,
I mean, I don't know if that game comes out kind of around that time almost every year or every other year. But if you look at the Cardinals the last few years of the second half, their numbers are bad. Remember, Cliff Kingsbury had those guys 7-1 like 3 years ago, and they fell off a cliff and they had to go on the road in a wild card playoff game.
Cost them a job.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the Sunday games. Eagles put an end to the Cowboys season. It was a nice little run for McCarthy and the guys to get whatever they got. They were done. Happy to see. Bucks, close game in the first half. I was getting a little nervous, and all of a sudden, Baker and the boys, they turn it up. And they blow it out in Florida. Now they control their own destiny since Atlanta lost today. Thank God. I don't know if you guys have any comments on that. But other blowouts, the Bills putting the Jets out of their misery. Rodgers, did he bench himself? Like, did he?
Yes, he did. I think they were down 33 to something or at some point and said, are we going to put Tyrod in or something like that? Yeah.
His face, dude, post-game conference, he just looks like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, he just woke up stoned. He doesn't even know how he ended up in the Jets uniform. Like, he looks perplexed, lost.
I'm pretty sure I said this before we started recording, but if I did, and I apologize for repeating myself, but I said it was over when it was trending that their team was walking out with the boombox playing Gangster's Paradise.
And so walking out the dude, that picture's so badass. So, like, seeing Josh in the background, just, like, arms crossed. Like, just don't even know. I don't like them.
Like, what is wrong with this team right now? Yeah, it was. Yeah. I could have been Rodgers' last game, maybe. I don't know if he's playing last week or not. A lot of people are assuming like he doesn't want it to end like this, but we'll talk about probably in the offseason. What are the viable options that that needs a quarterback that wants to take a risk on him if it's not the Jets trying to bring him back?
There'll be a team, right?
We'll see. I mean, Rodgers is going to play. He's had 499 TD passes. They're at home against the Dolphins. He's got to get to 500. He will get to 500. So he's going to do everything in his power to get that number.
Guarantee?
Yeah, I guarantee 500.
Guarantee.
It's
I like
a guarantee,
it. The guarantee.
Guarantee it. Prop bet it. Rodgers will have at least one plus TDs on Sunday against the Dolphins. And the Jets, they can end the Dolphins season. I think I said it about 3-4 weeks ago. If you're looking for a team for Aaron Rodgers to end up, the Dolphins, they got no backup to Tua. I know Hundley did okay this week, but he'd be perfect for what they've got. Quick game, short game. He looks more and more mobile and moves around a little bit better there in the warm weather. So I think the Dolphins is a team, if he does get cut, which I think we're all pretty much on the same page, the Jets are going to. Woody's not going to keep him around. He may even just cut him, you know, the Black Monday, as they call it for coaches. Rodgers might get his pink slip the next day. Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised.
So I totally forgot the Browns game. I guess that's another blowout. I did not see the Dolphins winning like that. It was not a good game. I'm going back on our picks. That was like a bad pick by us. Aaron, you had Browns plus 6.5. Jason had Browns plus 6.5. Buddy was picking the Dolphins to still win. I had an upset win.
Yeah, the Browns DTR was terrible, dude. That game was disgusting.
Got nothing going on. What happened? Like, I don't know. I thought DTR looked kind of decent when he came in relief a few times the last year or two, and I don't know.
You got some UCLA blinders on, right, Matt?
It might be the case. I really want them to do well.
as bad as they were, man, it's a shame that Jameis wasn't in there. I mean, he might have given us 3 or 4 picks, but it would have been at least a fun, exciting game because the viewership on that one was bad. That was a bad, ugly game to watch.
I didn't catch that much of the game. I didn't catch much of the Jags Titans game. Couldn't bring myself to it. I only watched the Giants when they were winning because I was like, what? How? Like the Colts, I don't know, kind of fumbled that. So Colts coach, Steichen, is he on this hot seat? Is he out?
No, that's Aaron's guy, man.
Culture.
No, not even close, man.
The culture's not well. You got Pat McAfee talking crap on the whole team, how people are showing up late to practice. Colts and the Colts fans have been dogging Pat McAfee, calling them out. Their quarterback left the game early because he was tired. Just like a lot of a lack of accountability since Steichen has been there.
Does this is what, back... his second year there?
Is this second or third?
Second, right?
It might be second. You might be right. My friend, that's his cousin, that's Steichen.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere, man. I mean,
I got to get him on the pod.
I believe Gus Bradley's our defensive coordinator. He's likely on his way out the door. Offensively, they've got nice pieces. They got weapons. I mean, is Anthony Richardson the guy? I don't know. I think, Rome, we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about it on the pod, that if Sam Darnold would be a great fit for that team if the Vikings happen to let him walk.
That works.
He plays indoors. He's got a running game, a good O-line. They got some nice weapons on the outside. They're going to still be drafting, 14, 15, 16. And that division's not very good right now. Let's be realistic. So
that division's never good.
That's pretty much as true, yeah. So but I'm a big Shane Steichen guy.
You're giving up on Rome's guy, Anthony Richardson, though? He was trying to tell us about him early in the season.
I still like him. It's just, it's not good, dude. But I miss him a lot.
The games he does win, I mean, the last game he won.
Looks great.
He only had 7 completed passes.
He looked
great,
though.
I mean, it was for 111 yards, but he runs over people, so it looks great. But then he can't play the next week because he's got a bad back.
Yeah, there should be a stat where, it's, impact plays. That doesn't really show up. Jaden Daniels, impact plays, that's what kind of sets them apart from the rest of the class.
I'm all great for impact plays until it affects your ability to be on the field the next week, or you got to tap yourself out.
There should be an opposite stat, right?
Because that's an impact plays, play. Yeah.
But then there should be a
negative impact.
You should
plays.
Not be an NFL player. Play, yeah.
He's the 33rd ranked quarterback out of 32 teams.
I knew he was looking up stats right now. Yeah, I knew he was 100%. Looking up stats. Dude. He was staring too much in the left hand corner. He's got something. He's working on something.
I just wanted to put the stats out there. I mean, unbelievable athlete was what we talked about. But when you're going to do a project, and that's what he was. He's a freak athlete where he was at. But Aaron's talking about the number of passes he's completed, passes he's attempted. There's always the criticisms a lot of the running quarterbacks coming out of college is that all they want to do is run. There's nothing around the passing side. And then when they do run, it's different than college. These hits hurt a lot more. You guys can't stay on the field. So Lamar Jackson, everyone was waiting to do that for him. But Lamar's smart when he runs. He doesn't take the hit. He moves around. He's elusive. But he's also can pass the ball. At this point, there's nothing that's really progressed Anthony Richardson through these first couple of years on what that next step's going to be, especially when you're bringing in Flacco. It's like, okay, this offense is going to work better. That quarterback head coach pairing doesn't seem to work. I'd agree with Aaron. The Vikings, I'd assume – keep Darnold, but Darnold's stock is going up, and the price tag, the price of the brick's going up. If you're
see how
say,
they celebrated
like
him
wire.
Coming to the into the locker room, they waited for him after he was done with his two interviews, and they just mobbed him with water, put him on his shoulders, they love him.
Yeah,
he's not going anywhere.
I don't think there's any way you let him walk. I think we talked about it's just gonna be the length of the deal, and then how long you're gonna have JJ sit behind him. But man, you win 14, 15 games, however much they finish the season, and you're, top three record in the NFC and over on the league, and where he's putting at. I know there was some other hosts out today just talking, why is he not in the MVP conversation? He's top three in the league in touchdowns and yards and different stuff, and he's not making dink and duck throws. He's really stretching the field. Now, on the flip side, he's got two – he's got probably the best receiver in the league, if not the second best. And then he's got a great number two in Jordan Addison.
I love Jefferson.
And I don't know where you put Hockenson as the tight end, but you got a top 10 tight end of the league at the minimum. So he's got the weapons around him to do stuff, but he's making the big throws and he's not turning the ball over at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, Darnold is key for him is what is he going to do in the playoffs?
He's never made a playoff appearance. He's never made a start. If they lose to the Lions, they're on the road. Win one, two playoff road games, we're talking like Eli Manning stuff here, where we're talking, hey, this guy was basically left for dead, and now he's looking at a big contract. Vikings in a great situation. They could franchise tag Darnold. They could sign him to a long-term deal, maybe do kind of a similar deal that the Falcons did with Cousins. You know, yeah. He sucks next year. You cut him. Rome, we were talking, do you leverage and trade JJ, sign Sam Darnold long-term, and stack up a first or second pick to add additional pieces to this team? Vikings are in a great situation, but again, it's going to come down to what he does in the playoffs. Can he handle the pressure? Will he see Ghost again? Because we know he has before.
Unfortunately, it's just a, like, whoever he faces is going to be a tough out, right? If he's facing the Lions first round, no one's going to blame him for losing that game, right? It depends on who that first round matchup is going to be. But they're going to probably play Baker Mayfield, you think?
Well, if they win, they get the bye.
They get the bye.
If they lose, they would be in position as of right now, considering the Rams. If the Rams win, which is no guarantee, then they would go to Tampa Bay.
Who did Rams play last week?
They play Seattle on Sunday coming up.
Oh, man.
Seattle's been officially eliminated, so.
So it's just all pride at this point.
And if yeah. they right now, if them and Tampa finish with the same record, Tampa would get the 3 seed because Tampa has a better conference record than the Rams. So I believe that's how that works.
Wow.
That's if Tampa obviously wins, which I assume they will against the Saints. That should be the lock of the week for any money line play.
All right. With a Tampa Minnesota matchup would be wild too. When you thought about, was it 2 years ago that you, Darnold and Baker were, you know, just thrown together quarterback room in Carolina? Teams gave up on them. Browns and Jets, historically bad franchises, give up. Panthers pick both of them up, do nothing with either of them. And now, you know, I think both of them threw like for 400 yards this weekend.
Panthers got a good deal on Baker because the Browns were just trying to like, oh, we needed an adult in the quarterback room. And they just kind of treated him like shit on the way out, even though he brought in their own playoff appearances. They traded in. They kind of went all in on Darnold, didn't they? They traded around like some first round picks in order to bring him down to Carolina, if I recall.
I want to say a third, but I don't remember.
No.
I mean, that was your boy Matt Rhule at Nebraska, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Well, I think, I don't want to get into it, but Matt Rhule, those guys, Carolina, man, the key for them is just be patient.
Yeah, just patience. They got some things going on.
You can't just start throwing people to the wolves after like 20 starts. I mean, let's put it this way. If Caleb was with the Panthers, they'd be trying to trade him this offseason. That's just how that goes.
The Panthers gave the Jets a sixth-round pick in 2021 and a second and fourth-round pick in 2022. So a 2-4-6.
That's okay. Real quick before we end the week, Vikings-Packers. That was a hell of a game. Well, I don't know if that was game of the week, maybe. It was really fun. Vikings were up big time. Packers come back in the fourth quarter, make it a game. That was really beautiful. I'm not sure if we talked about the game itself. I know we talked about the Vikings a little bit, and then the circle back with the Commanders and the Falcons with Penix and Daniels igniting the scoreboard in the final frames. What are your thoughts on those two teams? Those four teams, rather.
Yeah, I agree with you. That showdown with the Vikings and Packers was there. I think the question to me, Aaron, as a Packers fan, did Aaron pick the Packers in that game? Or no, you went the other way, Vikings,
I went the
right?
Vikings, man.
You did.
You went the Vikings.
I took the Vikings.
We all had Vikings winning.
We did. But Aaron's been high on the Packers. Jordan Love continues. I think there's some question marks around that and where he's been overall this season for this team. And these were one of those games where I think you wanted him to show up big, and he got out-dueled significantly by Darnold on the other side.
We got punked.
I'm going to disagree. I think Love and those guys got off to a bad start in the first half. But if Minnesota doesn't convert that last drive, Packers are going to come back and win that game. And I like the Packers to beat the Lions and Vikings both in the playoffs if they happen to meet in the playoffs. I like the Packers if that matchup does come to fruition. I don't know. It looks like they're going to go to Philly.
I still think they can beat Philadelphia given where they're at health-wise.
Yeah.
Green Bay's been rolling, but this was a good test, a good wake-up call. They're still a very young team.
I think
they didn't have Watson in this game. They're going to get Jair Alexander back, their best corner secondary guy. Packers are going to be a dangerous out, man. I mean, they're going to be dangerous. They just get off to kind of some slow starts. They're kind of one of those teams, if they jump out real quick, they can blow you out, or they get off to slow starts. I'm not really worried about the Packers. This was a nice wake-up call, a good loss for them. If they get by Philadelphia, which it looks like that's going to be the matchup unless Washington happens to slip up or the Bears happen to beat the Packers, if all victories so, the Bears could get this year, we'll see.
Yeah, Packers are kind of misleading because they're always slow to the gate in the first half, and then they come back. But it's always like a little too late. Jordan Love, like, he looked great in the second half of the third quarter and fourth. But
well, let's not forget the Packers have 5 losses this year.
Yeah,
against the 3 best teams in the NFC: the Vikings twice, the Lions twice, and the Eagles. And they've lost all those games except one against the Lions by 3 points or less, I want to say.
Oh, dude, this spread was 1.5, and we barely won it.
Yeah,
2 points.
Yeah, I'm just saying overall, when you look at the 3 quarterbacks out of this NFC North, Jordan Love has been a step below the other 2 so far this year.
I'd agree with that.
As much as you, Aaron, and I think some other people in the Packers, like, okay, we don't want to see the Packers in the playoffs. They don't have the quarterback advantage when they're playing, so it is all going to be defense. And if you're going to go into these track meets against Detroit, you know, and the kind of the way this Minnesota game went to, but I mean, even if they're playing some of these other teams, whether it's Baker or some of the others, I just don't know where the Packers match up offensively. LaFleur is super creative. I give him that. This team's going to be competitive. And like you said, they've only lost against the best teams. So they show up against the bad teams. They do what they're supposed to. They take care of business. But if you're telling me their 5 losses against are the 3 of the teams in the playoffs and they're going to be the dark horse here, okay, they're going to have to do something they didn't do during the regular season.
Yeah, and I think losing in the regular season, we talk about learning lessons from the regular season and taking that into the postseason and taking the next step. I think the Packers are ready to do that. Whether or not that leads to victories, we'll see. I mean, the toughest matchup, ironically, is going to be their first matchup against the Eagles. I think they match up great against the Lions where they're at. And the Vikings, they had them on the ropes. I mean, they lost that first game, but Love and missed 3 weeks, and they were down 28-0. So, ironically, down 17 points against the Vikings, come back, lose by 2, and then they were down 28 at home back in week 4 and lost, I think, 31-28, something like that. As Jason said, I mean, they're not healthy. They didn't have their speedster Watson, so they really didn't get any big plays. He'll be back. Jair Alexander, their best cornerback, will be back. Packers are a team. They're just a team you don't want to play. They're kind of like, to me, like Tampa Bay. Like, we were high on Tampa, then they lost to the Cowboys, and we're kind of like, eh. These are a couple teams you don't want to play. They're trending to me upwards. I'd rather play the Rams or somebody like that than even the Lions, because their defense is just so banged up. I want to avoid Green Bay at all cost.
All right. Last game, unless you guys want to talk about any other ones, circling back to the Falcons, Commanders. Commanders 11-5. And they have these close games. They kind of had like a little bit of lull for like a 4-week stretch. Started hot, had that lull. Now I feel like they're kind of finding their groove again, going to the playoffs. 11-5. I know they're not like blowing anybody out, but they just feel like they have. To me, they feel like it feels like they have like that it factor to them that they can possibly pull off an upset or two in the playoffs with the right matchups. And Jaden Daniels, like, he's already had like a handful of signature moments that like quarterbacks or like, you know, NFL players wish they had in like their first 5 seasons. It's all in year one. It's like a little too much in year one. Am I just overblowing a proportion, or like, is this like a real threat? I think they can function up at the playoffs.
There's definitely a dangerous aspect to playing them because of what's the X factor that Jaden Daniels is going to play down the stretch. Spent several games where they were down and out, and they've made their way back. At the same time with this team, though, they're a step below, like I said, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Lions.
Most definitely.
Probably even the Packers. I'll probably put that up there, too. There's definitely a vibe to this team. It's a team that's rejuvenated a city probably in Washington, D.C. that really hasn't had, you know, the consistent winner that they've been looking for under the Daniel Snyder era. Like, they were spending in free agency. They bring in a coach. They had a little, you know, little run with Joe Gibbs, but it was nothing like, you know, crazy consistent. And then it's been kind of just a mess up and down. And they've been the bottom of the NFC East for a long time, probably since we were last doing the radio show 20 years ago. So, but I think when it comes to the playoffs, though, Rome, yeah, I wouldn't put it past anything that happened in the playoffs. It's a one game sample size. Jaden Daniels takes over a game and it's a big upset. At the same time, I'd expect more that this team, when they go up against some really tough opponents in the playoffs and not, you know, favorable environments and stuff, that they're going to get just beat by better teams right now.
Yeah, I mean, Washington, their weakness is their defense. I mean, their run defense isn't very good. I mean, Atlanta, Bijan Robinson just torching them in that first half
game.
On the ground.
He had a great game.
Even, you know, Jason's Kyle Pitts got in on some of the action.
Dude.
So
he did. You see that nice touchdown catch?
Yeah, you know what happened? Yeah, you want to know what happened? Yeah, you know what happened? The one league, I don't know, Kyle Pitts in, the other team owned him in the championship game.
Did you lose?
He beat you, huh?
And he beat me.
Oh, man, it's bittersweet. It's all coming full circle for you.
Kyle Pitts taking me on a stretcher in the one league I don't take this guy.
I love it.
In the last week.
That's brutal, man.
I love fantasy football.
Brutal.
That's a good storyline, dude. That's great.
That is brutal. But, yeah, what I like about Washington, what I like about Jaden Daniels is he's already got that will and that look in his eye, like, I'm not going to let this team lose.
Yeah.
And you don't see that from rookie quarterbacks.
You got swag. You know?
Yeah.
You got it.
And so I think the key of you playing them, especially in overtime in the fourth quarter, is you can't let Jaden Daniels run. You can't let him get outside you. If you can keep him in the pocket, you're going to give these guys trouble. But as soon as he gets a step or gets outside or gets a crease, I mean, he's taken off and running. I mean, how many yards did he have in that fourth quarter in overtime? He rushed for over 100 yards, I want to say, against Atlanta.
Yeah.
And Atlanta defense was playing good.
They were playing pretty solid.
They were
nice
playing
games.
Really good. And then Jaden Daniels just said, I'm just going to take it up to another gear. And Atlanta had no answer.
Yeah, so I was watching that game. It was great. You mentioned he had over 100 yards. He led the team. 16 carries, 127
yards. He's got the most rushing yards ever of a rookie quarterback in the rookie season.
That's crazy.
He passed RG3 of all people, an ex-Washington Redskin commander guy.
Hey, knock on wood for everybody, guys. We don't want to see that. Yeah, typically when you have quarterbacks that run this much, they're prone to get injured. But you know what? He's so thin. I saw him get
you saw him get bent,
guys.
Did you see him get bent back where his leg got stuck? I was like,
I missed that. No, I did see him though when he kind of kept the option. He was pretty close to the goal line. Tried like juking off like three defenders, but they're huge, man. He took those hits pretty well, but he's so thin. And I was afraid for him.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the key.
Was he a buck 80?
I think he's probably about 2'5" to 2'10". He looks skinny, but he's tall. I mean, as of right now, well, they got to beat Dallas. They got to beat the Cowboys to lock up the sixth spot. Because if they lose and the Packers beat Jason's Bears, then they're going to Philadelphia. They got They got a much better matchup with the Rams, another young team. That'd be a good game. That's a game I think they can win. If they have to go to Philadelphia, I'd give them small chance of winning that game.
That's fair. You guys want to go into looking at the playoff prospects, any other games in week 17? Should we just hold off to like the last week and then we'll kind of go in a deeper dive on matchups?
Yeah, I say hold off till Thursday because
it's all speculative right now, so we're just jerking each other off.
I don't know about that far, but
it's not on the eve of the eve yet, bro. I'm not ready for that yet, dude.
Jesus Christ.
Hit me up tomorrow night. Hit me up tomorrow night on that one.
Oh, you're wild, man. I can't say anything.
I don't know what's going up in San Francisco right now. Jeez, a New Year's Eve.
But yeah, I agree, Jason. Let's save that for Thursday, and let's get in this college football playoff, man.
Let's talk about the big games of the week, all right?
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. It's that time to talk college football playoffs. Second round, the quarterfinals. We got one New Year's Eve, two on New Year's Day. But before that, kind of want to ask Jason, how was the Holiday Bowl?
Holiday Bowl is great every year. New venue. Have been at Petco Park the past 4 years or so since Qualcomm, the old stomping grounds, had been demolished when the Chargers left, but was replaced by Snapdragon Stadium, which I believe San Diego State plays there. Aaron, you correct me. I think they do. And then
I do. They do play there, yeah.
I think the NWSL Women's Soccer League team plays there, but nice stadium, smaller obviously than Qualcomm. I think only in like the 30,000 seat or whatever capacity, not the big football stadium that has a 60,000, but a little bit of a different matchup. I think we talked about going in the history of the Holiday Bowl generally had a little more prestige when you go to the back when I first started going, because you'd get like the Pac-12 runner-up or Pac-10 runner-up that didn't make the Rose Bowl would definitely go to the Holiday Bowl, and then you'd get like a 2 or 3 ranked team out of the Big 12 or the Big 10. So you should see some really good teams and some teams that are generally more a little more local. Washington State, while was a Pac-10 team, not the easiest flight probably from Eastern Washington down to San Diego, and then Syracuse coming all the way from upstate New York to come over to San Diego, probably the farthest possible flight you can make it to San Diego.
Hell yeah.
So it wasn't as probably say the collegiate atmosphere wasn't there like it probably had been in the past when I first started going to this game 18 years ago, which has kind of been a yearly tradition with some friends of mine that we go down there every year. But still great to see some college football in a different bit of an atmosphere. Hit the over, as Aaron correctly predicted, but one of my couple losses this week was I did think Syracuse was going to get that minus 18. They were up 24. There's a 20. They're up 24. And then we got a backdoor cover there right at the end by Washington State. And they're able to cover there, only losing by 17 right at the very end. So, but
I'm pretty sure that made Stanford Steve's bad bets of the week or something like that. Does he have a segment beats. Like that?
He's got bad beats with SVP. So, yeah, I don't know if it made bad beats. Definitely was for me. I was a few alcoholic beverages in at that point after the 5-hour tailgate prior to the game.
Ooh.
And I was talking a lot of mess to I think I sent it to you guys, a little screenshot of the stadium and of some friends of mine and my cousins as well. And I was like, yeah, minus 18, lock of the day. Oh, well, it was not so much.
You pulled the old Rome, man. You pulled the old Rome.
I did.
You talked too early, man.
You shot your wad before it was all over and boom, down there it goes.
Yep.
What a phrase.
Yep. Yep. So definitely talked a little too early on that. I will blame the gentleman, I'll blame it on the gentleman Jack and the other adult beverages that were consumed during the tailgate.
What are your adult beverages of choice? Actually, I don't think we know this yet.
I'll do a diverse take of alcohol, but I've settled into gentleman Jack and Dr. Pepper for the Holiday Bowl pregame, but mostly a vodka guy. Do a little vodka soda or some different mixtures with the vodka.
Nice, I respect that.
But the Dr. Pepper I think is the official sponsor of college football. So you go to a college football game on a tailgate, you got to have some Dr. Pepper and mix it with the Gentleman Jack.
There's a Sailor Jerry's rum. I don't drink a lot of rum.
That's pretty good stuff.
Sailor Jerry's and Dr. Pepper. I can finish a whole 750 in 2 hours. It's just a fun time. It's a good time. You guys don't want to do that. Sailor Jerry's and Dr. Pepper. Love it. I haven't had it in a few years.
Sounds like a great Friday night and a bad Saturday morning.
Last time I had that combo, though, it was at my daughter's baby shower. And I ended up passed out on falling over my daughter's baby shower gifts. And that's the pink blanket that she still sleeps with today. It's the one that daddy just like knocked out on. Glad you had a good time at the Holiday Bowl. Any other recaps from any other bowl games from this past weekend?
Your Nebraska team won, Rome.
Nebraska won. That was a fun game.
I mean, they hadn't won a bowl game since like the Ice Age. So
Boston College. I don't know if it was a great game, but it was watchable for sure. Iowa State. I called that victory. Thank you.
Hey, who sent that? Who sent that? Was it mayonnaise Pop Tart or whatever the hell that thing was?
No, it's Jason.
I sent that, man.
The Pop Tart. Is that a real thing? Is that like a real thing going around or what?
No.
No, I think when you look at two bowl games right now,
Duke's Mayo.
Duke's Mayo and Pop Tarts are the corporate sponsors that are doing it right. If you're not going to be the college football playoff, you don't get the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Cotton Bowl, and the prestigious stuff. And you're talking about these teams that are, you know, what are they playing for? A lot of questions when you go to these bowl games. You know, I go to we go to the Holiday Bowl. You know, no stakes except these kids get to play some football, which is great. But when you're sponsoring a bowl game and you make it your own, Pop-Tarts, man, they take this thing to the next level. They had the mascots that were like ripping off foil. They had the trophy we talked about. They had dancers. Pop-Tarts that were dressed up were like, doing stuff to the referees. They had the resurrection of the strawberry Pop-Tart that got toasted last year's Holiday Bowl that resurrected. It was at the top of the stadium. And then they toasted another Pop-Tart this year. I think it was the cinnamon one or something. And it comes out to a big Pop-Tart. So, man, it's trending all over Twitter. I think, it makes itself a prestigious bowl to probably go to. And I think Duke's Mayo, the other one you brought up too, they were the one a couple years ago when Mike Golic Jr. was like eating Duke's Mayo with like some Oreos or something live on TV and doing some creative stuff. So if you're going to sponsor a bowl game, man, make it fun, make it entertaining. And, the Iowa State, it was a great call by Rome. Miami, I think Cam Ward walked out like at halftime or early something like that and said, okay, I'm done with this. So they weren't playing for much. And I think that's the negative of these bowl games is that you get.
That's not a good look.
It's not a good look, but at the same time, what is he playing for? The stakes are low, but you don't get
a Pop-Tart.
I mean, to me, the Pop-Tart was a prestigious bowl he should be playing for, but it was a good game nonetheless at 42-41. I think that's the show that these corporate sponsors, hey, at least they're making it fun. And hey, we talked about the Pop-Tarts in last week's podcast, man. May go out and buy some Pop-Tarts, man. Dipping it in mayo though, it was a little much, but I think it was great. Some great corporate synergy supporting each other between Duke's Mayo and Pop-Tarts.
Duke's Mayo is the only mayo I could find that's closest to like European mayo, which is really great for dipping your French fries. It's delicious. Kind of like a sweet texture to it. Real quick before we move on, also Colorado got rocked at BYU. They brought everyone.
Hey,
everyone
got disability insurance. And a lot of people were quiet on that one, man.
Oh, they were really quiet.
Everyone wants to kiss Colorado's ass, but once they get their ass beat,
they got shown the door. George Sanders looked at it like a shell of themselves. And I think someone on Twitter posted something where ever since Shador has rocked the New York Giants hat or like posted something Giants related on X, he has not been good, and he even rocked some New York Giants sneakers for the game.
Ironically, the Giants don't want him either because they played their best game of the year.
They did.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look. I think Dion and Aaron, who's the head coach of BYU, I can't remember off the top of my head, but
yeah, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but yeah,
they had some good stuff. I think pregame, as far as what this game means, and as far as you get to play another game of football and stuff, but then, Colorado came out and it was really just nothing, and BYU dominating. Colorado, while it was hype at the beginning of the season, and then they kind of went away, but then went a little bit of a run, and then just faded here late.
All right. Before we get to the playoffs, Alabama playing my second or third college football team. Who's keeping track these days? That's tomorrow.
Before you go to that SEC team, I want to talk about Navy beating Oklahoma in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. So, we're talking about the SEC deserving to be in the playoff, but they don't beat Navy, who many people have written off all year. And then USC beating darling Texas A&M of the SEC in the Las Vegas Bowl same day.
Arguably Texas's biggest win of the year.
Yes, very, very true.
You guys,
I don't want to pile on, but we are on the eve of the eve, so I might as well. So last time I get some shots in this year.
So while Vanderbilt did beat Georgia Tech, Arkansas beat Texas Tech, and
Oklahoma wasn't that good this year.
They weren't good, but they beat Alabama, who's everyone's talking about. Oh, should have been in, and it wasn't like it was Alabama's only loss.
Yeah, they
but that was the one you highlighted. Missouri beat Iowa today too as well. So, but I mean, the vaunted SEC, as we continue to make that a little bit of a talking point, like I'm not trying to put them down by any means, but you keep telling me it means more in the South and all these teams are so much better. But when you get to these bowl games,
hey, SEC's not blowing anyone out. They're losing the game, or Missouri's beating Iowa by 3.
Yeah, I'm glad we have Danny Cannell on the show today, guys. I mean, Jason Sinke. Wait, do you not like him?
No, Danny Cannell's fine.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, Danny Cannell's fine. Don't want to insult anybody.
No. Danny Cannell's fine. I think he's valid points in the SEC. Like, hey, yeah, really good conference. It means more. Hey, their fans travel well. Great stadium. You know, I was telling somebody about going to the Holiday Bowl, and they're like, if they had an SEC team, they would have sold the place out. And yeah, they might have. So,
You
know, I'm sorry. The ACC with Syracuse and Washington don't travel as well. But you know what? I was like, you know, they still got to play the game, but traveling well doesn't win you football games all the time. And when you keep trying to put these other conferences down of like, oh, we play all these, you know, this hard schedule, but then majority of the SEC, like specifically Alabama, you play 3 cupcakes out of conference every year, and then you rely on what your SEC schedule is and just everyone talking about how hard the schedule is. So,
yeah,
do better in the bowl games. Prove us wrong.
Do better. Jason's right. Do better, guys. All right, real quick. Alabama ranked number 11 against my top ranked Michigan Wolverines based on my top ranked rankings.
Fan favorite top ranked teams?
Fan favorite, man. Yeah. Okay. What's the spread on this one, Aaron?
It was 15 points.
15 points. I'm taking Michigan to cover it. Lock of the week. Wait, how much of our defense is actually playing? I didn't really do too much research on this game.
I mean, it's a ball game, so who knows who's going to be playing for these ones. Yeah. The line's been going up. It was initially, I think, 14. It's 15, 15 and a half. So the smart money's, wise guy money's coming in on Alabama right now.
Yeah. Maybe not luck of the week.
Maybe just
watch it and just support Michigan.
Yeah, there you go.
Luck that for the week. That'll be a fun game. That's on at 9 a.m. Start New Year's Eve off really nice. Are you guys like the drink on New Year's Eve right from the get-go, or you kind of slowly get into it, or you guys don't really celebrate too much?
I would say it's toned down over the years. Definitely not drinking as a get-go. It'd probably be just a late surge up to midnight.
Yeah, me too.
I agree.
I've slowed down a lot this past year. This has been I'm like, oh man, I'm starting to feel it. I'm not 26 anymore, just the girls I date. It's rough.
Maybe if you just go to one or two less like Christmas parties over the weekends, you know, the entire month of December would be easier to recover, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to any parties. I'm having my own party here at my house with my daughter. We got kids sparkling champagne for her, non-alcoholic. It's apple cider.
So
champagne for dad.
New Year's Eve with the daughter. Are we watching broadcasts? Ryan Seacrest for the countdown, or is there a kids movie that we got to put on for the New Year's Eve? What's the procedure?
I'll probably put on like I'll do the New York one at 9 o'clock.
Try to
get her nice and tired, but knowing her, like those Hispanic genes are going to kick in, and she's going to want to stay up till midnight. It's going to suck.
I think that's the key, though, is you can get older, man. You celebrate the New York at 9 o'clock and then call it a day.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into it. Playoffs, quarterfinals. Let's start off with the VRBO bowl. Verbo. I've actually rented properties or like book cabins in Lake Tahoe through that, but I don't know how to pronounce that. Anyways, the VRBO Fiesta Bowl tomorrow night, afternoon. Penn State against Boise State. Penn State's favored by 11.5.
11 points.
11 points.
It just doesn't have the same ring to it. When Tostitos sponsored it.
I loved it, man. The Tostitos
Fiesta Bowl just made so much more sense.
Yeah, I don't like when they change it, man. It's not fun. You know, people still call Oracle Pac Bell Park? Pac Bell hasn't existed in a decade, at least. All right, but anyways, Penn State. I think we talked about it like last week or the week before. This is the best Penn State has looked ever, like competitively up and down. They've had some tough losses, but I really like them. Boise State, do they deserve the third seed? I don't think so. I think they should kind of redo that thing, but here they are. They got the bye. They got Gentry, who got, you know, some people think he got ripped off on the Heisman. What do you guys think? Are we all, we all kind of went for the other guy. So, yeah, thoughts?
Yeah, well, out of the few right things I've got from the beginning of the season, when we look at my predictions, Boise State being the playoff team is where I rode. However, and Genty at the same time too, really, you know, he was doing a ton, and probably in any other year probably wins the Heisman, you know, one of the top rushing performance collegiately ever. But I think this is where Boise State's kind of Cinderella story comes to an end in a big way. Their biggest highlight of their resume is their one loss to Oregon in Eugene early in the season.
It is their highlight, huh? Is that it? Is that the biggest non-victory?
I mean, it's their only non-victory, 12-1. But if they would have got blown out versus Oregon, they're probably not. They're in the playoff, but they're not getting the first round bye likely. So what the resume builder was them is like, hey, they went up against the number one team in the country, and then we're playing in a one possession game with them late, and really had, for the most part, special teams saved Oregon in that game. I do think these teams have changed since then. They've evolved. Oregon obviously has played a tougher schedule. Boise State has not had the toughest schedule. And now, as much as I'll vouch for them being in the playoff, getting the bye a little bit of a gift under the rules, you know, I think they should get the bye, but I think those rules are going to change. But Penn State, yes, to agree with you, Rome, one of the best Penn State's teams that they have had, really prove themselves in the first round of the playoff. I think it's a pretty easy cover at 11, or even I see on ESPN bet 11.5 for Penn State, and they roll Boise State tomorrow.
So I see that the over under is at 53.5. That's kind of interesting, because I know Boise State has trouble stopping players, and I don't think they've ever. I'm tempted on the over.
Yeah, an interesting matchup here. I mean, Boise State, they haven't. I mean, obviously, the Mountain West Conference isn't great. Their toughest opponent is UNLV. They beat them twice, once at UNLV, and then obviously in the championship game there at Boise, Idaho. And had Oregon on the ropes early in the year. Oregon, two special team scores. This game, I think, is going to be a lot closer than people think. I'm actually riding with Boise plus 11, Penn State, to come out and win this one. Boise's talented, more talented than people think. Their defense does worry me if they can hold up against the run game of Penn State. But I think Genty can get some big runs. I think their quarterback for Boise in the passing game is a bit underrated. I think they're going to shock Penn State a little bit with that. Unlike SMU that was shell-shocked on a road game, this is a neutral site. Fiesta Bowl there in Arizona. And Boise State, historically, Fiesta Bowl has been great for them. They've upset at Oklahoma. When Oklahoma was a dynamite team there with Sam Bradford and those guys, TCU back with Andy Dalton, Boise covers here, makes it a close game.
All right.
But I got Penn State advancing.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I hope it's a close game, but yeah, I don't know. Penn State just looked really good last game. Hard to go against that. Let's start from the top of the morning till night on New Year's Day, 10 a.m. So if you drank a little too much, you should be okay by 10. Or if you party like me, you'll be okay by the time the third game comes around at 5 o'clock in the afternoon at night. Texas versus Arizona State. Texas favored by... Oh, Aaron, you sent this to me and I keep on looking on the screen. 13?
12.5.
12.5 over under 51. That's really intriguing over under, actually.
Interesting over under. Rome, you haven't listened to Aaron and I the entire year about Texas. Even when we told you last week that they were going to cover in their first round matchup. I think Texas will advance, but Arizona State's going to cover this game and keep it closer than people think. So I'll take Arizona State. You're plus 12.5.
Agree. I like Arizona State to cover 12.5. I like over 51. This can be a good game. Arizona State relishing the underdog role, right? hey, we don't belong here. The Big 12 sucks. Texas coming in, you know, with the easy route, if you look at it, you know, basically getting the home game against Clemson and then now Arizona State. Arizona State's talented. Their defense does worry me, but they're actually got a really good red zone defense. And it just so happens that Texas sucks in the red zone. Texas wins. Arizona State covers. Agree with Jason. I got 30-26 Texas winning. I like the over 51 too.
I do like the over. I was rooting for Arizona State. Watched a few of the games down the stretch. They are really solid. Only have one loss with their starting quarterback, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And just really good team. Texas, they're my preseason pick to win it all. And I think my pick to win it all again when we double down after the end of the season. I'm just kind of shaky now because of viewers, but I do think Arizona covers. I think it'll be more like a 34-27 type game. Nice, comfortable win, but not a blowout, shootout, and something to have fun with. The Peach Bowl, Chick-fil-A. You know what? I think Chick-fil-A is overrated, by the way. Not a big fan. The sandwiches, they all kind of suck. They're nuggets, though. I can eat a good 50 to 100. I only know that because someone brought them to a Super Bowl party, and that's what I did. I ate the whole platter by myself. That was pretty impressive. I couldn't walk afterwards.
What a guest just comes over and eats the entire tray of chicken nuggets meant for the party.
And then takes the party out to this trunk with the little bar, open bar. I mean, what kind of guest is that?
That was a nice tie-in, dude. I'll give you that.
Roman, an all-time party guest, you know?
Bad. All right. Next game, Ohio State, Oregon. Ohio State favored by 2. This has gone down a little bit, over under 55.5. Are these all pretty high? Yeah, except for the Notre Dame-Georgia game. To me, this kind of looks like this might be the championship game here. That's what it feels like.
I agree with you. I was talking to an Oregon alumni this afternoon that was going to be headed to the Rose Bowl to watch this game. And that was the exact words I said to him, where this is Oregon's toughest test to win the national title that Phil Knight is paying handsomely for, to get Oregon every advantage to be able to win the national title. Part of me wants to say Ohio State found something in the last game that was sorely missing versus their Michigan loss. But Oregon has done everything right all season, and I will take Oregon plus, what do we got, plus 2 right now?
Yeah.
I think it is their year.
Their year, Oregon's?
Interesting. As much as I love Oregon,
yeah,
and I want Oregon to win this game,
yeah,
I'm taking Ohio State.
Whoa.
I think it's impossible. I don't think it's impossible, but it's going to be very difficult for Oregon to run the table and do a perfect 16-0. And Ohio State, say what you want, probably should have won that game up in Eugene early in the year. That was a week 7 matchup. I went back, I looked at all their notes. Ohio State was favored by 3 in that game. Ohio State, the Michigan loss, we kind of questioned where they were at. Were they going to be able to bounce back? They sucked it up. They whipped Tennessee. And I think this team has newfound confidence. And even though they're favored, I think they feel like the underdog. And they're going to take it to Oregon. They're going to beat them. I don't think it's going to be as close as people think. I think Ohio State is going to win by 7 or more. I like the Buckeyes to advance to the semifinal.
That is wild. I was listening to another podcast. I think it was Joe Klatt. I think I talked to you about this, Aaron, earlier. How this is the first time we're actually asking for college football teams to actually play possibly four straight games, like really well, in order to win a natty. Especially when this year, when like all the top teams, they have not had more than 2 consecutive good games. This is going to be pretty tough. Oregon has had some close calls, and a long bye. I'm going to lean more towards like the NFL experience here, where teams don't look good after a long bye. They kind of lose their mojo. and Oregon's going to come out flat. I am leaning on an upset as well for Ohio State. I'm rooting for Oregon, but I think the lean here is Ohio State. They're just more primed, more ready. They're ready to go. And not sure what's going to happen with Ryan Day, but if they win this, he's definitely staying.
It's hard to disagree with you guys. There's a reason out of all the games, this is, you know, one of the ones with the tight spread. I guess Notre Dame, Georgia is too, but this was the rematch we thought would probably been the Big Ten title game that we would have got probably a trilogy out of these teams this year, potentially, that we didn't get to see. The bye is very interesting. I think there's a valid argument to what Rome said, which is, hey, you had the bye week, you come out flat. Oregon hasn't played a game since, I don't know,
three weeks, right?
Yeah,
December 7th.
So almost a month at this point that they haven't played a game. So there is some rustiness there. On the flip side, while Ohio State did win, you know, the buys in the National Football League are also better because you're getting guys healthy and there's an element of rest that didn't have to, you know, take those hits in the first round game. So a lot will be said. Winning the four games, I think, makes it so much more difficult for Ohio State, Texas, Notre Dame, and Penn State. That it really gives the competitive advantage, I think, in the long run, if one of these teams does win that had to play the first week, getting to the fourth game is probably going to be so much more difficult that they're going to have something there. I don't think it plays as big a deal this week for Ohio State, Oregon, but I think we'll probably learn something as much as because about the first round buys. They're already talking about reseeding, and if it is as much a competitive advantage with the first round buys, if we see Oregon be able to run away, Georgia able to beat down, maybe even Arizona State shocking people and understanding the value of that, there could be some real conversation about what the value is there. This one I think is tough, though. It was more than a full week that Ohio State got to rest, so it wasn't just a 1 week, so they did get some additional time, so it probably won't come as much play. I agree with you guys. I think my heart is rooting for Oregon because they've been just such a perennial power in college football and just haven't been able to get over the hump to win the national title. I think it's probably the best story that you can get from college football right now that people are probably rooting for.
They've definitely been the most consistent team this year. No one has been close to their consistency game after game.
They're the only undefeated team, right? So, yeah. I mean, typically we look at national champion last year, Michigan 15-0. We always look at that O and we think, you know, hey,
you know what?
That proves to be a national champion.
They've done it under the radar, too. We've been talking about everybody else except for Oregon, I feel like, all year round. And they've gone undefeated under the radar. It's kind of weird for that to happen, especially at a big program like that.
Well, at least that's how it appears to me. I don't know if they've actually flown under the radar. I mean, Jason has pointed out Boise State had them on the ropes. Let's be real. Boise State should have won that game. I mean, you get two special team scores. When do you ever see that in a college game or pro game? Regardless, Oregon figured things out from there. They've been defensively, they've been really stout. I mean, Oregon, like Jason said, for the last 20 years has been the premier school out west, and they just haven't won it. You know, Chip Kelly got him there, and Cam Newton ripped their heart out. I think it was, I can't remember the running back, Dyer, like landed on a defender, then ran another 50 yards, and they got a touchdown and won that. And then they got blown out. They blew out Florida State, and then they got beat by Urban Meyer in Ohio State when he went on to win this first collegiate title there with Ohio State. So it's a big game. It's the Rose Bowl. I expect the crowd to probably be about 50-50, maybe 60-40 one way or the other. So not real crowd advantage.
Most definitely.
Ohio State's going to travel well. Oregon's going to travel well. I do like if Oregon gets through this game, I do think they're going to get to the championship. But can they beat an Ohio State team that, talent-wise, is probably the most talented team in the country? Again, it will come down to Will Howard. It's going to come down to the quarterbacks. I mean,
again,
Dylan Gabriel, he's been great. Will Howard's had some great games. Do Ryan Day and Chip Kelly believe in him? That would be the difference, I think, in this game. If Ohio State is able to play how I think they can, their defense is a little bit better. They got a few more playmakers. Ultimately, I like Ohio State to pull this one out.
And the coaching matchup, I think, is very interesting in this game, too, for you look at, like, Dan Lanning's got a different swagger with this team. You brought up that Oregon team that played Ohio State. I remember watching like pre-game interviews for that game with Mark Helfrich and Urban Meyer, and just the interviews alone, there was a difference in the command of the program. I think you felt going in like there was something different that Ohio State was going to bring to the table in that particular game. Dan Lanning, man, there's a confidence there of what he has with his team and the swagger that they bring. And Ryan Day, we talk about every week, definitely he's got the horses, definitely he's brought in the talent, but there is so much question marks around him at all time that isn't surrounding Dan Lanning, where they're going to play free in this game and they're going to play their game. Where does Ryan Day have his team? Are we playing tight the entire game? And is that like is a difference in the game? Because it could swing very easily one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I like the swag. I like everything Dan Lanning brings. My concern is, will he get over aggressive and do something stupid, like instead of punting, run a fake punt or go for it on fourth and like three back at his own 45? Ryan Day, he just seemed like the monkey got off his back with that win against Tennessee. He was over there winking at players, winking at cameras. I've never seen Ryan Day ever smile in my entire life.
Yeah.
And literally like had a grin from chin to chin like the Grinch when he beat Tennessee. I think, like I said, I think Ohio State's found a newfound confidence. They know talent-wise they're better than Oregon. They want Oregon. They're not afraid of Oregon. This is actually the game they want. I think it's going to be a hell of a battle. Like you mentioned, Rome, this could be the best game, and it's going to be a quarterfinal playoff game for the college playoff. And maybe neither one of these teams gets to the final or wins it all, but this may be the best game and best matchup of it all.
Valid points in the coaching, though. I think Ohio State, the coaches really beat themselves. They second-guess play calling. They get away from their assets of like what makes them a strong team. Oregon, they could be over-aggressive, so what comes out on top? That's a funny.
And we didn't even really mention much, but does Chip Kelly break Oregon's heart again? Does he?
All right, last game in the All-State Sugar Bowl. Jason's Notre Dame against Georgia. Georgia's favored by 1 point. I'm just not seeing it with Georgia. I got Notre Dame. It's not going to even be close. Notre Dame by 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I was that confident. I agree with you. Notre Dame's going to win. I think it will be close. What Notre Dame's able to do in the running game, I've said it all season, is something special with Jeremiah Love and the game breaking that he has. When they figured out how to use Riley Leonard, we've talked about that in several weeks. Jadarian Price they bring in, and he gets his carries as well. So he consistently go there. The timeliness of the passes. I saw a highlight this week because the Northern Illinois loss. That's the only thing anyone knows about Notre Dame. The passes that Riley Leonard made in that game that were terrible, you know, terrible interceptions, was the thing they haven't done. And so that's the only risk offensively in this game is Notre Dame, is if they can't find their way against a generally great presence up front in the Georgia defensive line, do they have to start taking some risks in the pass game that cost them the game versus Northern Illinois that they haven't had to do versus many of these other teams, because the run's been able to be successful and set up, you know, some great play action. Offensively for Georgia, they haven't looked great. Even with Carson Beck. Now you're playing with the backup who I think he had one good pass in that game where he came in relief. Everyone's like, oh, he did. I think Rome said he did great.
He did but good, really, dude. Yeah, he did good.
He did good. I mean, tough situation to play.
Game. I mean, he won the game.
He won the game. You give him that. He won the game. Now you're going to play four quarters. The Notre Dame defense is special. They have, you know, All-American safety with Xavier Watts, Jack Kaiser at linebacker, you know, just all over the place, ball hawking. They're missing, we talked about it last week, they're missing their best defensive linemen, so that becomes into a big issue with them up front. I still think Notre Dame pulls it out. It'll be a 3-score game, but the Irish are going to be advancing.
I mean, I've been going back and forth on this game all week once the matchup was official. I mean, Georgia, just like Jason said, that stout defensive line, can Notre Dame establish the run game? And if they can't,
will they force Riley Leonard into throwing it, and will he make the mistakes that, you know, he's been prone to throughout his career? He's been a lot better. The pass game's been doing better.
That's all valid.
But that's my real question. And then on the flip side, Jason just said their best D lineman is out. And we know Georgia, a freshman quarterback, is going to do what? They're going to pound the rock. They're going to run it. And that's always been Notre Dame's weakness, is can they hold up against the run game? This Notre Dame team is built different than those in the past. I believe they can. Al Golden's got to be the key here. A lot of pressures, a lot of zones, a lot of mix-up and coverage confuse the young quarterback. Texas kind of just came out and played standard man-to-man, and this guy was able to run and do all that running stuff and hit a few big one-on-one passes. Play zone, make them read coverage, send blitzes, send extra bodies. You saw what happened late against Texas. They almost threw that game away. In the end, in a close one, I don't trust the young quarterback. Give me the Irish. Notre Dame advances to the semifinal in a close one.
Nice. Yeah, you know, do the Bulldogs, you know, manhandle the little Irishman, you know, take them behind the shed, give them a good pounding, or do the Irishman, you know, Michael Vick, the Bulldogs, chain them up, put them away for good. We'll find out. Jason's face.
I had no idea where you're going with that, man.
Hey, we need to, hey, Mike Vick did get a head coaching job in college, by the
he
way.
Did. Maybe congratulations, that's why, dude. He was supposed to get a job here in Sacramento State. And I was like, man, I'm going to apply to that. I'm going to apply to be an assistant or something. It's close by.
Yeah, you can't have Mike Vick in California, man. Not with that track record.
Yeah, they don't have any pit bulls here. That's not true. that analogy to your Jesus face.
I'm not sure I was going with that either, man. I'm pretty tired. I'm not gonna lie.
As soon as you said take the Irishman behind the woodshed and give him a good pounding, I was like, I was already out, dog. I was done. I was like, hit the pause, bro. Hey, Rome, how'd your comedy show go, by the way? I didn't get a video on that. Did you do that already? Man.
No,
or do you not remember it?
No, I didn't get a chance to do it. I'm going to try again next week. Oh, no, I have to wait till after the daughter goes back. So
okay.
So were these bits you were trying out today on the pod? I don't know what else you're using.
I mean, between the jerk-off session and take the Irishman behind the shed, I haven't heard enough for the rest of this year, for sure. I'm definitely going to regroup.
Well, this is the last pod of the year, so
might as well get it out.
Any recap for the year?
I don't think so. We've only been doing this since August or September, so I don't know if we have enough for a yearly recap of the pod.
Yeah, sure. Any accomplishments for you guys personally from the past year? Or what to look for next year, what you guys are working on?
Listen, we started the resolutions? Podcast.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything bigger than the podcast for us. You know, coming out of retirement after, did we establish how many years it was since we last recorded the radio show?
It was almost 20 years.
I mean, yeah, it was up there.
20 years, we'll say.
Like 18.
So, yeah, 18, 19, 20 years. I mean,
what year is it right now? 24.
It's 24.
It's going to be 25 here in about 25 and a half hours.
Yeah, it was 5:06.
Yeah, he was 0506. You're right. I was going to go with that. So 19, 20 years, whatever was one. I think that was a huge thing for us getting the pod up and launched this year, and got to get through a football season, which was Rome's goal. So many football seasons in the past to get this up to really talk football and establish where the podcast was at. I think we've had some good episodes. It's gotten better, and you know, it'll be bigger stakes in 2025 for us, man. I think a lot of we'll have an interesting post-football, you know, segments. Brom's probably want to talk a lot of basketball that Aaron and I may or may not tune into. We'll get some hockey playoffs in. I'll bore you guys with some more Formula One this year. We'll get a full season of Formula One.
It's on, baseball, man. Formula One's on, man. I'm in.
So I mean, that could be an accomplishment for me. I mean, I got, you know, two new guys into the Formula One group right now, so we can chat some Formula One.
You got me to talk Formula One drunk at a bar. I think that's pretty successful, man.
Put you as a Formula One expert out there in San Francisco on the streets, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yeah, a lot of good stuff to look forward to in the pod, I think, in 2025 as we continue to grow as a show.
Yeah, man. I mean, I agree with Jason. I mean, just getting the show going. I mean, Rome, you were in my ear back in 2020 when we were up there in San Francisco and COVID talking about doing a pod. And then it's like every year, hey, let's do it. Let's do it. It's like June. It's July. Oh, shit. It's August. Oh, shit. The season started. All right. Next year. So it was great to get that started here after Labor Day weekend. Got through football season. That's great. Still got another month or so with college and pro before the Super Bowl. Be interesting to see how the offseason non-football year goes. But like Jason said, we got some Formula One, I'm NBA, really curious too, March Madness.
It's obvious that we just want like football the most.
I mean, it's one game a week, so it's easy to talk about versus 3, 4, 5 games. I mean, fantasy baseball, other stuff going on. We can talk fantasy and all that stuff. Baseball, National League, American League. So I'm excited about where we can go. Obviously, we got some new fans, a possible cup of coffee pro coming on the show here in the next week or two. So that's, you know, great. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Cool deal. Thursday, we'll be back then for the last edition of the Lions.
Regular season Lions, right, man. Now we're doing postseason Lions.
Yeah.
You got to double up on that.
Double up.
It's like a two-line hit, you know?
A two-line hit.
That's Pacino and Scarface lines right there, you know?
You know, I hate that movie.
Really?
I get upset every time I watch it. I just can't watch it. It just irritates me.
Interesting take.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while, but I used to have like Scarface posters and blankets and all this stuff in college, and I don't think I've seen it in like 15 years at least.
So you just like the vibe of the movie, you got all this stuff, and then you actually watch the movie, and I'm like, hey, this movie's not as good as I thought.
No, I watched it, I was really into it, and then I don't know what happened. Like, I probably watched it sober finally one time. I was like, what? This guy's an asshole. This guy fucks up so many times. Really, it really pissed me off. I don't know. It was rough.
All right, we'll save it for the movie podcast that yet
save
to be
for
launched.
The movie pod. I know. That's 2025, man. Beautiful. That'll be a wrap. We'll catch you on the other side of the new year, Thursday, with new Lions.